Now, mental health problems affect one in four of us, yet people are still afraid to talk about it. For people with mental health problems, not being able to talk about it can be one of the worst parts of the illness. So by getting people to talk about mental health, we can break down the stereotypes, improve relationships, aid recovery, and take the stigma out of something that affects us all. And that's what Time to Talk Day is all about. So right now, we're taking some time to talk. And my guests are Lucy Gill, Brian Jackson, and Vanessa Dodds. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Lovely to see you. Thanks for coming in today. Now, I'm going to come to you one at a time, first of all, and we're going to start with Lucy. Now, Lucy, you're Community Officer at Brentwood Borough Council and Mental Health Champion Officer for the Mental Health Challenge in Brentwood.
Yeah, that's a long title, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a long title. Yeah. A long title. And actually, we last met on the stage at Brentwood Lighting Up, didn't we?
I know. We were freezing up there, weren't
we? It was cold, but I enjoyed the waltz. It was very nice. We did, yeah. Anyway, can you tell us about your organisation and what your role is in it, please?
Yeah, so Brentwood Borough Council in 2014 took on the Local Authority Mental Health Challenge, which has a series of steps, series of challenges that we decided we want to challenge ourselves with in order to raise awareness of mental health in the organisation and in the community.
Sure.
So since then, we've done things like increased training with staff, we've supported more mental health organisations, we've given some funding to local organisations, and I have sitting here on my lap right now, we were just chatting about these lovely iPads.
Very
that
impressive.
Fitness in Mind were successful in obtaining a grant from the Brentwood Community Fund to fund some pieces of technology to help with their outreach work, and so they have arrived. So I've brought them along to deliver them to Fitness in Mind today.
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. They'll be delighted with that. All right. Well, so how did you become involved personally in all this work?
Well, I'm part of the Community Services Department.
Yeah.
So we have a remit of health and community development, and so it was something that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
And so I put myself forward for it, and actually I've really enjoyed the role.
Very rewarding, I would imagine.
It's very rewarding, and it's really good to meet a new group of people, because part of my job involves I suppose developing relationships with lots of local community organisations, and I have been in Brentwood Borough Council for 10-11 years now.
Right.
And actually there are organisations I haven't previously worked with, such as Brian and Vanessa's organisations, that actually through the work that I've been doing with for the Mental Health Challenge, that we've now working together very well, and we're part of the Community Tree organisation.
Yep.
Which I'm sure you must know about, which is I brought one of their amazing colour therapy books in today. I don't know if you've seen this before, the organisation has created its own colouring therapy books to sell on behalf of the Community Tree, and all the proceeds go to mental wellbeing services in Brentwood.
Great idea, and that really works, doesn't it? I do a bit of colouring now and again. I love it.
Yeah. It's very therapeutic. Yeah. And there's actually a colouring cafe that started on a Friday at Brentwood Theatre, which I'm sure you've probably spoken about this week. And they're getting a really good, steady number of people.
That's great.
Every week, who are going to colour and chat and just enjoy the company of other people.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Lucy. We'll come back to you in a moment. Come to Brian now. Now, Brian, you're manager at SEPT, for the Brentwood Resource Centre Secondary Mental Health Services. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct.
Ah, good. Right, so tell us what SEPT is, for anyone who doesn't know.
SEPT is South Essex Partnership Trust, and we're a trust that looks after the mental health of people living in the South End, Thurrock, Basildon, Billericay, Brentwood area. I manage the Brentwood Community Mental Health Team, which looks after patients in Pilgrim's Hatch, Ingate Stone, Hutton, Brentwood, Shenfield area.
Right, so I imagine you travel around a bit, do you?
I do. Just to give a bit more information about what we cover from people that from 18 years of age up to 65, which is the adult side, and then we have an older people's team that looks after 65 and overs.
Right, and what's the range of services that you offer those people?
We offer therapy, which covers psychotherapy and psychology. We have an occupation occupational therapy team that can offer people help with coping skills. Consultant psychiatrists can see you on a regular basis. And if your particular needs need extra help, we have care coordinators who are social workers and nurses who can help you with this.
Right, excellent. And again, same question to you as Lucy, really. How did you get involved in all this?
Oh, God, it goes back a long time. It's actually not too long ago. About 15 years ago, I was going to get involved with my partner to open up a nursing home. And I decided that it was a good idea and I needed to become a nurse. From there, I did my qualifications. And here I am now.
Right, excellent. All right, thanks very much indeed, Brian. And now Vanessa. Now, your title's even longer, I think. Vanessa Dodds is the Brentwood, Billericay, Basildon and Wickford Cluster Lead at SEPT for Therapy for You Primary Talking Therapy Services. Right, can you just come into the microphone a little bit? Yeah, thanks very much. So, Vanessa, tell us about the services you offer and what your role is in all this.
So, my role is I'm a manager within that service,
yeah.
But I'm also a therapist within the service.
Okay.
So, I have my own clinics where I have my own clients that come to see me for support. The service itself is, as you said, a primary care service. So we're an IAP service. So IAP stands for Improving Access to Psychological Therapies.
Okay.
So it's a government IAP service, but we call ourselves Therapy for You. And within Therapy for You, you can self-refer. So you don't have to be referred into the secondary care services as Brian works within. Because we're a primary care service, you can actually self-refer. So you don't have to go through your GP.
You've anticipated one of my questions.
It's much more accessible for somebody that wants to get some support. So we work with people that have a mild to moderate level of mental distress, really.
Okay.
So an IAP service is a step care service. So we encourage clients to go through the step process of what their therapy needs for them to get better.
Right.
So we offer a lot of psychoeducational classes, and we also offer... sorry, I've got a cough.
That's fine. No, don't worry about
it. We also offer one-to-one therapy as well, but you can imagine the resources for somebody to have one-to-one therapies is quite difficult. So the emphasis is mainly on the psychoeducational classes.
Yeah, one-to-one always is more expensive, isn't it? Yeah.
It's not so much the expense, it's actually the amount of resource to actually resource one-to-one therapy. Most people preference possibly could be one-to-one, but actually research has shown that people that engage in a psychoeducational class or group actually benefit
more.
Really effectively.
Okay, yeah. And is that because of the social aspect of being
it's
with
the social
other
aspect
people?
And it also normalises the problem for somebody. So as soon as someone comes into our service, they're offered a telephone assessment. So that assessment will be with a qualified therapist who will work out with that client what's the best need for them.
Yeah.
And then they will be offered our stress and mood management classes.
Yeah.
And here in Brentwood, we offer clients the Merrymead Centre, which is just down the road.
Yep,
and
I
don't know if you've all been to the Merrymead Centre, but it's a really, really lovely building.
Yeah, very good.
It's a really nice atmosphere there.
All right, smashing. So you're also a trained mental health nurse,
you said.
So
yes.
What made you train as a mental health nurse? What led up to that?
Weird story, actually.
Yeah.
When I left school many years ago, they had the YTS
going on. Yeah.
So I left school at 16 and I went on to a YTS, and my placement was at Rochford Hospital in the mental health unit over there. And I loved it. And then one of the nurses said to me, she said, oh, you could become what was called a 17-year-old at Runwell Hospital. And now a 17-year-old is where you work 9 to 5 as an auxiliary nurse, basically.
Right.
So I did that and loved that, and then just went into my mental health nurse training from there at Runwell Hospital. So many years ago.
Smashing. Well, you're doing some great work now by the sound of it. So Time to Talk Day. What do you think of the Time to Talk campaign?
I think it's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
I heard a story last week, which is really relevant to this. It was about a young man who lives in America, and he said that I'm decided today, and this is a very sad story. Let me tell you, all the listeners out there.
Yeah.
He wanted to end his life, and he decided that if somebody talks to me, I won't do it. And he got all the way. He got on the train, on the subway, whatever it's called in America, and nobody had spoke to him. And he decided that when he got to the bridge that he was going to jump. And thank God, somebody actually said, "Are you okay?" And he said, "Actually, no, I'm not." And they said, "Well, okay, let me have a conversation with you." And he didn't do it. And I think this is so relevant to what we're talking about today. He didn't do it. And all it needed was somebody to say something to him.
Yeah, fantastic story.
Lots of people just walk past people. You know, I'm certainly not one of those people. If I see someone looking distressed, I will go up and speak to them. I know where I often get my sandwich from. I won't do a plug there, but there's often somebody who maybe is not as fortunate as maybe I am, and he's sitting there looking very cold and dishevelled, and I'll always go in and buy that person a sausage roll or a cake or something. But I think that's really true. It's really sad, and I know on Facebook you see various things. I think it was something in Germany. This person was just walking along normally and then fell on the floor, and they were videoing it just to see how long it took actually for someone to go up to that person and see how they were. And it was a good 5-10 minutes before actually someone went over to that person.
Yeah, I mean, Brian's story there just echoes the story about Stranger on the Bridge, which we've covered on MHM, Johnny Benjamin story. He was literally sitting on Waterloo Bridge thinking of doing exactly the same. And, you know, it brings me on to my point about today. I mean, we have to talk. We just cannot sit still. Mm. We can't stay quiet. We've said this previously, haven't we, Bob, about why should it only be one day
a year?
But if it's going to be one day, then make it a big one.
Absolutely, yes.
I mean, I've noticed going around just the Brentwood Borough Council offices, just talking to staff about time to talk and encouraging them to have a break, have a chat to each other, to look after each other. Mm. But actually, the whole travel around the council offices probably took about 3 times as long as I thought it was going to, because people wanted to ask me questions about where they've got a friend who needs support, whether can they go for help. And actually, just me having that chat with people around the building has helped people be able to have access to services that they may not otherwise have known where to go.
Do you think mental health's a hidden problem? I mean, the official statistics are 1 in 4 people, tend to think it's probably much bigger than that.
I think it's people's perception. Brian and I were at the job centre in Brentwood last week, talking to the staff there with the community print team.
Oh yeah.
And again, I think people, as I said there, people think of mental health as something as a diagnosis, such as depression or schizophrenia or psychosis. But mental health is about a person's mental well-being. Yeah. So it can be stress-related. It can be a loss of a partner, or even a loss of your dog, or even your job. So I think it's mental health as in the holistic version, as in that person's mental well-being.
Yeah, I mean, a load of people do focus on diagnosis these days, and if they don't get a diagnosis quickly, they sort of fixate on it.
But also, time to talk is about stigma, isn't it?
Today,
and you know, I think that there is still an awful lot of stigma around mental health, people, although probably, I mean, you guys would know a lot better than I would, being therapists, but people go through stages of periods of depression, probably, as you say, most people do, and they come out of it. And then actually it gets to a point where people don't want to be diagnosed because they don't want that stigma around mental health. So it is probably very difficult to know what the numbers are.
Mm. Yeah. We deal with the sharp end of the mental health issues. And personally, I think that before we get there, and this could be just a friend or a member of the family, your grandma, give them a ring, say hello.
Yeah.
Just that one phone call can make a difference.
Absolutely, definitely. Yeah. So, time to talk day. What are your organisations doing to celebrate it?
Yeah, well, I've been plugging it around the council offices all over lunchtime, and putting up posters and giving people free tea bags. Time to talk tea bags.
I know, I've got mine in my pocket.
You've got a sticker on, I see, as well.
I've got my stickers.
But also tonight we're supporting the Question Time to Talk event, which will be a group of 7 panelists who will be answering the public's questions. So it's a little bit question time, but it's about mental health, and actually it's just a wonderful opportunity for all these services and all these people from the public to come together and just just have a discussion, a really nice, fruitful discussion about mental health in Brentwood.
Yeah, very good.
I'll be there.
Very good. And how about Sepp? So you've already been to an event this morning, haven't you, Brian?
Yeah, I have. I've been to the Spread Eagle, a lovely pub come coffee bar.
Yeah.
I'd recommend it to anybody out there. We had some lovely sandwiches and cakes and coffee there today. But more importantly, it's who attended, and there were carers, service users, patients, people that like to talk, and I think it's important. We have people from SEPT and Therapy for You services, and it went down very well. We had around about 30 people there. As a trust, we've got other things going on. We also look after, as I mentioned earlier, South End. We've got a meeting going on with South End today, and there's also one in Basildon as well.
Fantastic. Now we've got a great project going on here in Brentwood with the Fitness in Mind team. Do your organisations support this initiative and sort of refer people onto them?
Yeah, it's something that we would signpost somebody to if we felt that would, because like I said, we our initial interaction with a potential client is through a telephone assessment.
Okay.
So there's that opportunity to actually tell that individual if they live in the Brentwood area and what is available to them. So Fitness in Mind is definitely something that we sometimes suggest if it's appropriate.
Yeah, and it's been a great success. Have you seen benefits to people taking part in Fitness in Mind? What feedback have you had?
I personally, not from this Fitness in Mind, but right. I worked in a different organisation where the green fitness was very much within that service. So although I haven't seen anybody from Fitness in Mind in Brentwood, I know it definitely works because I've seen it with my own eyes, definitely. Yeah.
I have, as I work in Brentwood, I see patients quite a lot, and I know people that have attended the Fitness in Mind, and they've got a lot out of it. It's not just keeping fit. One of the guys that I know very well got involved with football as well. So there's lots of things that they can do there, and Fitness in Mind. Mm. As I said, we deal more with the secondary, the patient that's had a longer term issue.
Okay.
And I think the most important thing, as far as we're concerned, is about exercise. It's about walking. And all these things you can do together. Again, it's time to talk. And if you do something together with somebody, then it will benefit your mental health, mental well-being.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this is it. It's an outlet, isn't it?
Yeah.
That particular program is an outlet for people. I mean, whether it is, whatever it is, football, MMA, whatever. If it's something they want to get up for and they want to do, then that's got to be a positive influence on their life.
Yeah.
But it's also about people being comfortable to exercise.
Yeah.
Because I think going to the gym is daunting.
It's quite intimidating, isn't it?
Yeah, for people who don't have mental illnesses. And I think for someone who is mentally poorly, I think that could be such an intimidating experience. Mm. And so I suppose it's about exercising with a group of perhaps like-minded people who are really supportive and just understand if you need to sit out for a second or if you need to leave for a second so
it's also about going to somewhere where, like you say, you feel comfortable, but also it's about meeting other people that has maybe something similar to you and realizing,
definitely,
well, actually I'm not alone, there is other people that feel the same as I do.
Yeah. And also it's about reducing isolation, definitely, in that respect. You know, less time to sit and think to disrupt those cogs from destructively turning, I suppose.
Totally, Well, Brian mentioned walking. I love walking, and I really feel the benefit of it when I do it regularly. Mm. It's good. Now, things change all the time. How do you work to develop your services? Do you consult the people who use your services as to what their needs are?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
We have feedback forms.
Right.
And obviously ask people. Something that we've actually just recently developed is we have a new online website. So all our psychoeducational classes can be reached via our website. So where people that may be are housebound or maybe commuters would find it difficult to maybe attend sessions, they can obtain all the stress and moods and the understanding classes, which are the psychoeducational aspect of our service, via the online online website.
Right. I've never tried anything like that personally. Is it as effective as...
Yeah, for sure. I've actually just started working with a client and they used one of the understanding classes, which was encouraged for them to do from their assessment. And actually, half of the work had already been done because they'd had the psychoeducational aspect before they intervened then with the one-to-one. So, yeah, it worked really well.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay. Now, a little bit of a controversial question now, really. We hear in the news a lot about government cuts. Have your services been hit in this way? And how has it affected your ability to deliver services at all?
It has obviously affected services. We try not to let it to affect our services. But I think if you look at our staff generally, we've got excellent staff throughout SEPT. They have to take on more work at times, but they understand the reasoning, but they have to do it. And I think they try to support the service user, the patient, as much as they can. The answer is that we do are affected, but I think we cope admirably.
The pressure's always there, but as Brian said, it's the staff that know that there's that maybe that extra bit that they have to do, but they're there within that job for the passion that they have for the job.
I think as well that although it's difficult for me to comment because we're not a service provider in that respect, but I think actually that everyone is willing to work together to adapt for change, and I think we're really of the culture now where partnership working is key, so we can pool our resources.
Well, on that note as well, you've got the volunteers as well, which SEPT has quite an army of in Essex.
Very much so.
So it's talking about conjoined working. I mean, you've got staff volunteers, and they have a massive contribution and a massive part to play as well.
Earlier we mentioned the Brentwood Community Tree, and it is an integral part of Brentwood. We're very, very lucky to have this in the Brentwood area. Other areas that we do that we work with don't have this, and we've got lots of organisations, charities that we work alongside, which offers a very good service to the Brentwood patient.
So you get a lot of volunteer help. Are you always on the lookout for more volunteers?
Very much so. Yeah, very much.
Well, this is your opportunity, Brian. tell us the benefits of volunteering with SEPT.
The benefits is working for a great trust. We're one of the top trusts in the country. So we've just been evaluated by the CQC, and we did very well out of that. So congratulations to us. So you'd be working for a great trust. You'd be, as we're here today, time to talk. So it's about making sure we can offer good help to other patients and service users that need that help. So if you're either a service user who maybe has done very well more recently or not, you're very welcome to come along and talk to us. You can call me at any time. I'll give you my telephone number, I think possibly at the end. Very welcome. Everybody's welcome to come along and help us.
Well, see, the thing with that is there's a load of different projects that volunteers get involved in. I mean, a few of them I've been involved in. Student Nurse Buddy Scheme is one such example. There's also the opportunity to speak out at forum meetings and things like that, and they're just a load of different opportunities, and one thing might be good for one person, another thing might be good for another person.
Sure.
But also, you know, in terms of mental health, volunteering is an excellent way to reintegrate into the community and get some skills back for work. So it's beneficial not only for the services, but also highly for the volunteers.
It's more than just the work aspect, though, because and this is something I've talked about as well, which is purpose.
Yeah.
And volunteering can give you purpose.
Yeah. Yes,
it sort of gets ransacked into work a bit sometimes.
Yeah, it does.
And you sort of think, well, hold on, work's not the only thing. Purpose is the core thing.
The majority of volunteers, I think, do it for the reward.
Yes.
Opposed to, but there are some great skills that can be gained.
Well, you know,
it's
basically my own story. I started volunteering at Brentwood Mind, and somehow I ended up here on the radio. I don't know. Don't quite know how that happened. But as a volunteer, I was probably 30% a service user as well.
Yeah.
But it was really, really good for me, and I got a lot out of it, and it built my confidence. And now look at me. So there you go.
But it's not just service users. You know, we would welcome anybody to come along that wants to put something back into helping people with mental health issues.
Carers, what have you.
The Colouring Cafe, that's run by volunteers.
Yeah.
And the only way it will carry on running is by volunteers, isn't
it? Fantastic, Okay, another question for you. What do you think would help to improve services in the local area? What's your biggest need?
Apart from money.
Money.
Yeah, that's always the one, isn't it? Yeah, but
I think, as I said earlier, Brentwood is very lucky. We do have a good lot of groups working together. But, you know, we'd like more. If you are part of the mental health community out there and you're not aware of the Brentwood Community Tree, please contact us and we'll get you along working with us. It is about collaborative working, and I think that is definitely, I think, as Lucy said earlier, it's the way forward. We need to work together. We can't work in silos. No. We have to work closer together.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, now, it's a personal question that I'm interested in, really. My own personal experience tells me that when someone's in a crisis situation and they need help quickly, in my own case, that help wasn't available very quickly at all. That was several years ago, and it wasn't in this area. Is the help there quite quickly nowadays?
Well, the GP would always be somebody's first port of call.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Brian will back me with this, or A&E. Basildon has the RAID service that works from A&E.
I think the most important thing for people out there to understand is the way to get into mental health services is via primary care, which is the GP.
Okay. I think the big thing with me at the time, I had no idea that there would be access to those services through A&E. It would have been outside of GP's normal hours.
Yeah.
And now, of course, I know that, outside of hours, you can go to your local accident and emergency.
Yeah. A&E is a lot better than... I think people that perhaps have had mental health issues in the past, they turn up at A&E and they may have a very long wait. Things are changing. We have a special team now that operates out of the A&E department, and you will be seen much more quickly. You go to the reception, tell them what your issue is, and you'll be seen, as I said, a lot more quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And young people's mental health services have a crisis, 24/7 crisis line, and one port of contact as well now. Mm-hmm. And also people must remember that they can also pick up the phone to the Samaritans.
Yes. Which is now free.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they do an absolutely wonderful job.
Yes, mm-hmm. And not only the Samaritans as well. There's various mental health charities.
I was thinking of, Brian was speaking, Bremen Community Print in this area.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've also got forums, which I think you was alluding to there, Bob. Yeah. Mind Run, site called Ellie Friends, mm-hmm. which is elliefriends.org.uk. It's responsible for my mascot today, if you like.
Oh yeah.
There are so many different ways. I mean, it's the old, there are more than one there's more than one way to skin a cat.
But it's awareness of where to get help.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Growing though, isn't it?
Yes.
Awareness.
I think so, support.
Yeah. I think that's why we're here today. We want to make you feel confident that you can go to your GP and talk about your issue. Don't hold back. If you are concerned, go to speak to your GP. He does want to help you, and as I said, you can. If you're not sure about the therapy for you service, talk to your GP, and he will recommend them. Mm. There is medication to start with as well, and obviously, if he's not helping you in the way that you want to be helped, he can recommend you to secondary service, which is us at Brentwood Community Mental Health Team.
Mm. Sure. Mm. Okay. Well. Aren't you all good at talking on Time to Talk Day?
That's why we're here.
Indeed, yes.
Fast talkers forward.
Well, you've all done very well, as they used to say in that sitcom. Thank you so much for coming in. Before you leave us, would you like to give us some contact details?
Yep, the contact details at Brentwood. You'll go for a duty if you've got a particular issue. As I said earlier, we recommend you go and see your GP first, but I don't have a problem with taking a call and passing it on. The telephone number at the Brentwood Community Mental Health Team is 01277 265 300.
Excellent.
Okay, and for if anyone's interested in all the contact details for all the community tree organisations, if they go onto the Brentwood Borough Council website, which is www.brentwood.gov.uk, the community tree promotional leaflet is available to download on our website, and it has all the information about the local services involved in the tree on there.
Fantastic. Thanks, Lucy, and thanks for bringing me that lovely gift of the iPad that you've put on me.
I will be taking that away. You've got your tea bag, Bob.
It's not for me. I've got my tea bag. That's right. Well, thank you, everybody, for taking...
Therapy for you.
Oh, sorry. I'm terribly okay. sorry. Just I'm terribly sorry, Vanessa. Yes, of
That's
course
okay.
you can. Yeah.
So therapy for you, as I said, you can self-refer. So it's 01268 739 128, or if you want to do the online programs, or you can do both, it's www.therapyforyou.co.uk.
Fine. Thank you very much. Sorry I missed you.
Okay.
Thanks for talking to us on Phoenix FM today, and thanks for all the very good work you do. That's Lucy Gill, Brian Jackson, and Vanessa Dodds.
And Scott W.
I'm terribly sorry, Scott. I've been doing my best to snub you all day, but you won't let me.
I'd like to thank Phoenix FM as well today for giving time to talk, a chance to be aired, and so everybody is aware of what's going on.
Thank you
Thank
very
you,
much,
Phoenix.
Brian. Thank you. It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you.